Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Faith in the Zone, a show about sports and faith, how the two come together and lives being touched. Right now, discover how people in sports walk in faith with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus.
When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world.
Well, welcome to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week, hoping one day soon to get Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church back in studio. Let me tell you a little bit about today's show. There's a guy a while back that worked here at Entercom by the name of Ryan Record. And Ryan's just a really good dude, and he's now at a station in St. Louis, and he had a chance to interview our guest and recommended that maybe, you know, they come my way and let's talk about, you know, his faith. And I said, man, of course, I know all about Daniel Ponce de Leon. I just do. I you know, kept in contact, not in contact with him, but I watched only one time this one line drive that hit him, and it was hard for me to watch. And then I found out a little bit more about him and his faith and how strong it is, and started reading parts of the book. And I talked to Daniel and said, look, I don't know if I'm going to get through the part where it talks about your dad. And he said, no, I understand that. Other than him being a St. Louis Cardinal, he doesn't seem like a bad guy. Daniel Ponce de Leon, how you doing today?
I'm doing good.
Hey, man, you know, you're up here in Brewer country, and it's a big week for everybody. You know, opening days all over the country. It's good to be back playing baseball.
Definitely, and yeah, no worries, man. You got your hometown guys. You got to root for them.
You have to, and I think at least looking at what some of the experts, and that would not be me, but some of the experts think it's going to be 1-2 in that division with the Cardinals and the Brewers. Hey, Daniel, let's start off, and throughout this show, you're going to hear me talk about this book that he has written. And he is the author. The name of the book is One Lion Drive, A Life-Threatening Injury and a Faith-Filled Comeback. And you guys know on Faith in the Zone, we marry sports and faith. And this is the perfect guy to talk a little bit about this. And we'll ask him for his testimony in segment two. I want him to know when he comes to Milwaukee and they're playing the Brewers, if he wants me to come out and get in the batter's box against him. You know, I've watched him pitch. I think I can take him deep a little bit. Daniel, man, old guy talking smack. I couldn't even see your stuff, to be honest with you. Hey, Daniel, where did you grow up? Where'd you go to high school? Things like that.
I grew up in La Mirada, California. It's the border city of LA County and Orange County. So we're pretty far south on the LA County side. And I went to La Mirada High School. I grew up playing basketball, football, and baseball. And actually, football was my passion of a sport. And not until college, you could say, is when I really started taking baseball seriously.
Hey, what? So 36 years I coached basketball, so of course I'm going to lead with a basketball question. What position did you play in basketball?
like a three, sometimes four. You know, I was never really big enough. I wasn't very good. I played my freshman, sophomore, junior year, and then senior year, I cut it down to football and baseball. It just, you know, you could kind of see the writing on the wall, like, just not that good at basketball.
What'd you play in football?
I was a quarterback there, and we won CIF championship, which is the California's way of, like, making championships. So it was like a D7 championship, but nonetheless, we won it for our school size.
Hey, Daniel, as a basketball coach, I was a guy that really liked multi-sport athletes because I always thought if you had enough guts and courage – on the 1 yard line, you know, you're down four with 3 seconds to go and you're able to get the ball in the end zone, you're certainly able to hit a free throw for me. And and if you're able to, you know, get up on the mound and pitch and hit in clutch situations, you certainly can hit a free throw for me. And so I really liked multi-sport athletes. Growing up, did you know, like, did you play with a lot of the kids in the neighborhood, kids in your area? Because I think, you know, the youth sports scene has really changed a little bit since then, or maybe not. I know here in Milwaukee, baseball has really taken off as far as being able to get on travel teams and things like that. I don't know the state of California. Was that a big deal when you were a kid?
As a kid, travel sports were very big, and but I never played them. I always played, you know, the basic city sports, so, you know, Little League, Pop Warner, and whatever the basketball league, AYSO or something.
Yeah.
So I forget what it was called, but you know, I just played the basic stuff. Well, there was 1 year, I want to say my 7th or 8th grade year, my dad wanted me to play some travel ball, and that was during football season, and I absolutely hated it, and I told my dad I want to quit baseball because I just didn't love it. You know, it was too cold to play baseball, and I wanted to play football. So he's like, you know what? All right, well, we won't do travel ball. So we cut that out and just stuck to, you know, the sports and their seasons, and that was a lot better for me.
Yeah, and you know what's interesting is I used to do the Midwest Orthopedic Sports Medicine Show here, Daniel, and these guys would tell me that they see guys that play that are just single sport athletes or girls if they're swimmers. They see, you know, girls and guys that have shoulder problems, baseball pitchers and catchers. Said, you know, catchers throw on every pitch as well. And they said, we see a lot of even high school age kids that have problems with their shoulders, their knees, if they just are a single sport athlete. Volleyball players, huge. But those multi-sport athletes, they said, man, we never see these guys or girls. If they're playing multiple sports, they're using different parts of their body, and we very seldom, you know, see them maybe until they get older. So that was really obviously pretty smart. Was it hard for you then? Because I know that being recruited by colleges, you had a chance. In fact, you went to the University of Arizona and you went to a couple of colleges. Were you recruited heavily as a baseball player?
Not necessarily till the end. You know, there was I never even went to showcases besides one. I didn't even know what they were. My high school coach told me, hey, we got something for you to go. You just go there and throw as hard as you can. I said, all right, that's fine. So, you know, I show up to one showcase and just rear back. And from that point on, that's where scouts and colleges ended up seeing me. I was able to throw hard, I guess. What? I didn't really think much of it. And, you know, I would get those questionnaires to fill out for the scouts and stuff. But I didn't really take it seriously because I didn't understand it, really.
You know, it's funny because you went to four colleges, you were drafted four times, and I don't know if we've had a lot of guys on Faith in the Zone, a lot of baseball guys. Not sure I've ever talked to somebody that was drafted four times and went to four different colleges. Can you talk a little bit about the change and why you left Arizona, ended up at Houston your junior year, and then Embry-Riddle University your senior year?
Yeah, I'll try to give you the quick rundown. So,
sure.
My junior year, Arizona ended up, my junior year in high school, Arizona ended up offering the scholarship. And we were thinking, you know, that was the best thing ever. You know, they told us everything we wanted to hear. That summer, I ended up getting drafted by the Tampa Bay Rays. So I started going to like little bullpen sessions for them because they wanted me to clean my arm, actually. But I eventually did not sign with Tampa Bay. So I go to Arizona, and the coach just does not love it at all. So the first bullpen, I'm getting yelled at, you know. And from that point on, I'm a March man, and no one really wants to be around me.
Oh.
And for the rest of the year, you just don't really play. I pitched three innings my entire freshman season, wasted my freshman year, didn't even get a redshirt or anything of the sort. And then, you know, they at the end of the year meeting, they tell me, yeah, we want you to come back and be one of our weekend guys. We got a lot of hope in you. So I said, okay, that's fine. I go back to California to play some summer ball, and halfway through summer, Arizona calls and tells me, we're not renewing your scholarship. If you want to come back, you're going to have to pay for it yourself. So I said, nope, see you later. And I'll never forget that moment. That was like the first downfall, like first heartache of my life. And I remember just turning and screaming in a pillow. And then the next day, you know, I'm getting a bunch of calls from D2s, junior colleges, and eventually I ended up going to Cypress Junior College in Southern California because I'm able to live at home. Have a solid season there. The scouts asked me to draft me, and I just told them, you know, I gave them a high number. No one was biting, and eventually the Reds drafted me in the 38th round just in case. But I told them no, because I had a scholarship to University of Houston. So then I go to University of Houston, and their weekend starting positions are wide open, and I end up being the Friday night guy. And the Cubs ended up drafting me that year. And this was like they gave me the deal I wanted, so I agreed to terms. And I go to their spring training facility in Mesa, Arizona. And there, I ended up failing a physical for ulnar nerve problems, which I did not even know I had. I didn't miss any time that baseball season, nothing of the sort. So it was out of the blue for me. So I try to go back to University of Houston, but the compliance office at Houston tells the NCAA that I agreed to terms. And after a long semester-long battle with NCAA, I ended up losing it. And that was in December. So I had less than a month to either sign as a free agent in pro ball or consider going to another school. And little did I know the NAIA has completely separate rules. So I go the NAIA route, and my pitching coach at Houston knew the pitching coach at Embry-Riddle. So I ended up going there, and man, that's where the Cardinals are after me.
Man, thank goodness that he knew that guy. And what a journey. You've seen a lot of the country just, you know, from Arizona to Houston. And I love that. And that had to be really difficult. You had to grow up fairly quickly, I would think, with that kind of disappointment.
Yeah. It was a journey, and you get humbled here and there. But at the same time, you know, I got a lot of friends that I made along the way. And each college, I was able to grab something, to learn something. So I actually am grateful for that.
Hey, how would you like to be the coach at Arizona who made that call to you and said, hey, we're not going to you want to come, it's going to be on your dime. And now you're in the starting rotation with the St. Louis Cardinals. And, you know, he turns the TV on, and you know, he's got to be able to say to some people sitting around him, hey, you know what, I had that kid. When he was a freshman in college, I had him. And they're going to have to ask, hey, what, really? Did he stay? No, he ended up leaving. I'm not quite sure why. I'm sure is what he would say. We're talking to Daniel Ponce de Leon, St. Louis Cardinal pitcher. Daniel, when you were in high school, if I would have called you and said, hey, you're going to be an author, you're going to write a book one day, what would you have told me?
I would have just laughed.
I'm telling you, I read part of this book. Name of the book, One Line Drive, Life-Threatening Injury and a Faith-Filled Comeback. I was watching some clips from Major League MLB Network, and Dan Plesac, former Milwaukee Brewer, asked Daniel, hey, after that line drive, was there ever a thought that line drive, it might be the end of your career? Daniel said, no, never. Just brought me closer to God. No follow-up question. They just moved on, and I thought, man, what a brilliant answer that was. Hey, Daniel, when that happened, and I can tell you that, again, I've watched it one time, and I can't watch it again. May 2017, how much memory do you have of that day? And I can tell you that, you know, listening to you and reading some of that, I thank God for Scott, who was the guy that was the trainer, and he came on the scene and completely took over at that point. And in your book, you said, man, thank God he was there.
Yes, definitely. Scott is also a Christian man as well. But, I remember most of that day up until the hospital, you know, remember throwing the pitch, seeing the seams, or throwing the pitch, the line drive coming back at me, seeing the seams on the ball spin. The ball hit me in the side of the temple. Probably was knocked out for a few seconds there. And then, you know, I remember laying there, and the catcher and the trainer and everyone else surrounding me, and my trainer Scott asked me questions. I was able to answer them correctly, but the way I was answering them, he just didn't like it, so he calls over the stretcher. And in my head, I'm thinking, why are we doing this? And they strapped me down, so I'm thinking, like, my neck is not broken. Why are we doing this? And, you know, they take me out to the ambulance, and I was still fine. And then once I got in the ambulance, that's when I started feeling a little worse. And then I get into the hospitals. I end up throwing on some nurses, and felt bad for that, too. But I was strapped down. I had nowhere to go with it. And then the last memory pretty much is me getting my head shaved, and then the next memory is me talking to my dad in the hospital bed.
And we're going to talk about Ramon. Is that his name, Ramon, correct?
Yeah, Ramon.
Yeah, he's a longshoreman and works overnight shift as a crane operator, uploading barges, Port of Long Beach. And I have to tell you, I got goosebumps right now because this part of this book is what was just really for me. And I don't – look – Daniel, I used to be this tough Irishman. I'm 100% Irish. That, you know, you could. I never cried. Now maybe as an old grandfather of four grandsons, but that part of your dad's story, and he is the one that, and I'm, I guess getting ahead of myself, the one that brought Daniel to the Lord, and introduced Jesus to his son, and we're going to talk a little bit about that part of Daniel's life, and then talk about his dad that day that he got hit. With this line drive right off his temple and some of the things that happened after. And he talks, Daniel talks about, look, that line drive was a miracle because it was something that certainly brought me closer to God and in my faith. And we're going to talk a lot about that throughout the rest of the show. I mean, we're so blessed to have him on. He is Daniel Ponce de Leon, again, pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals and author of One Line Drive. And you can go to onelinedrive.com. And take a look at where you can purchase that book. It's on Amazon and Barnes & Noble, shoptheword.com, christianbook.com. And we'll continue our conversation with Daniel on the other side of the break. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
More now of Faith in the Zone, discovering people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Brookside Baptist Church. Back with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. You picked
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I am Mike McGivern, our special guest. He is Daniel Ponce de Leon. He's a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals, and he's an author. The name of the book is One Line Drive. And a life-threatening injury and a faith-filled comeback. If you do not know his story, if you're not a big baseball guy or don't know his story, do yourself a favor and Google Daniel Ponce de Leon. And I can tell you that it's an impressive comeback. I pitched in softball leagues where guys would hit line shots up my way, and I thought, man, I don't want to do this anymore. This man, with his faith and everything that he had to do to get back on the mound, he is with the St. Louis Cardinals organization. I think he's. I don't know, what day are you going to start? Do they have that down yet?
Yeah, I'm the fourth game, I believe, which is the first game in Miami for us.
Man, that's awesome. Well, congratulations on certainly on that. Hey, Daniel, before we ask you for your testimony, and I think this wraps right into it, but we ended last segment talking about your father, Ramon, and. Reading this when he normally would watch your game and he thought it was a night game and he works some tough hours and he was sleeping and woke up because his phone was ringing and he just he just went into action at that point. You know, his dad said, look, at that point I just started praying. 15 minutes later they called me back and said they had to go in and operate. Doctor gave me the lowdown and on what was about to happen. He asked me if I'd give them permission to do surgery. And I can tell you that that was the part for me as a father, and I'm sure for you. All of a sudden they're calling, and you're a four-hour flight away, and they're asking you for permission to do an operation on your son and on his head. And I'm sure that the conversation that you must have had the first time you had with him must have been extremely emotional.
Yeah, well, for myself, I didn't really know what was going on. I was laying in the bed, and my dad, he's in the hospital. My dad was also taking the night shifts as well. You know, he'd be there out through the night, and then my wife, who was my girlfriend at the time, she'd be there during the day. And so somewhere at nighttime, I look over and I see my dad sitting in the chair, and I forget. We just start talking like normal, and then he goes, "Yeah, you had surgery," and I was like, "What? When did that happen?" You know. He goes, "Yeah, feel your head." So then, I feel my head, and there's a pressure monitor and a drain coming out of my head. I was like, "Oh my gosh!" And then what happened? And then he gave me the whole rundown.
Oh man, the other guy that I got to say thank you to is your brother-in-law, who you talk about in the book. He took charge, booked the plane, made the arrangements for my dad to leave immediately. And I'm sure at that point, if I'm your dad, I don't know which way is up, right? I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get to my son. And your brother-in-law took over and said, "Okay, I got you. I'll get you over there." And I think that was cool for him to be able to do that. Hey, Daniel, second segment on Faith in the Zone, we normally ask our guests to share their testimony. And reading parts of the book, I know that your dad had introduced you and talked to you and brought you kind of into the Christian faith. And like all of us, you get away from it a little bit at times, but he certainly was very important to that journey for you.
Yeah, he was definitely important that, me and him were, I remember going to church with him on the weekends and as a kid growing up, and I would never go in the kids' room. I would always go in there in the big room with him and try to grasp what was going on. But I'm sorry.
No, that's all right.
What was the question?
That he was certainly a big part of the early journey of your walk.
Yeah, and he still is part of my journey still now. But he's the one who introduced me and definitely showed me how to understand the Bible.
He is Daniel Ponce de Leon, St. Louis Cardinal pitcher. And again, we're talking about his journey back to the major leagues, but more about his faith journey and how this one-line drive, and it was a one-line drive that hit him in the head on May 17th, and what that has meant to his walk and how it really has changed his entire outlook, I think, on his faith. He's a Bible reader every single day, and I think it's just part of his routine now at this point. But that line drive, where most people would think, it'd been the worst thing that's ever happened, he has turned that around. And he has said, "Look, because of that line drive, let me get on the platform that the Lord has given me and talk a little bit about that part of my life." Daniel, as you started to get better in the hospital, was there a certain moment where you said, "Hey, look, I'm back. I need you in my life, and I'm going to talk to people about this part of my life"?
I didn't really want to talk about it at first, but the first thing was when me and my dad had that conversation, I asked him to come right over and pray over me, and
Amen.
Since he was my spiritual leader in my life, I had him come over. And I had him lay over across me and pray over me. And after that, I felt that peace that I was looking for.
Daniel, if I was talking to your dad, if he was here in studio with me, and we went to a break, and I said, "Hey, what did that mean to you?" I got tears flowing down my face right now, because that how important that was to him to be able to say, "You know what, son, of course I will pray for you." And as fathers, we pray for our kids all the time, but to be able to be that up close and personal in such a difficult time, man, good. You know what, that's awesome that's who you turn to and you call him your basically your faith leader. I think that's really, really important. We've had Tony Dungy on this show, and he's written a bunch of books, Daniel, about utilizing the platform that the Lord has given us. And whether you're a guy that works at, you know, a car wash or McDonald's or Burger King, or you're a pitcher in the rotation of the St. Louis Cardinals, you know, let's utilize that platform that the Lord's given us, and you certainly are doing this. Did you, when you were before this line drive, Daniel, would you have told people that you're a Christian?
Yeah, I would have told them I was a Christian, but if I told them that, you know, I'd be a pretty much a liar, hypocrite. I would say I'd call myself one of those lukewarm ones, something Jesus talks about in Revelation that that I'm scared of. But you know, just yeah, I had the faith, had the background. I said Jesus Christ, but I didn't live that way.
Hey, you know, it's on this show. We've had a lot of baseball guys on, Daniel, and minor league baseball. Man, that's a tough place to be if you're a Christian with the amount of temptation that is on the road and all the things that come with minor league baseball. Did you find that as well to be a difficult place for you?
Faith-wise, not so much. It's just an afterthought, really. You know, you're just busy and grinding the whole time. You get back, you're like, I don't feel like reading, or I don't feel like, you know, you don't really invest in your spiritual life. You don't think it makes a difference.
Are you involved in baseball chapel?
Yes, and I would go to the baseball chapels every Sunday.
Yeah, that's been a big part with Faith in the Zone, and we've had a number of guys that have been on with baseball chapel, and then there's a guy named Tom Roy who pitched for the San Francisco Giants years ago. He's a Wisconsin guy, and he started company called UPI, which is Unlimited Potential in Christ.
Yep.
Tom has become a really good friend, and he has helped us with guests. And when he comes through Milwaukee, he's still a Green Bay Packers season ticket holder, though he lives in Indiana. And so he'll drive to Lambeau Field whenever he can. And he's been very helpful. And it's interesting, the baseball chapel has been a big part of some of the guys' lives that we have had on this show. We had A.J. Ellis on, who's a catcher with the Dodgers at that point, and he was talking about, you know, we'd go to chapel, and he got up, and Clayton Kershaw was pitching, he was catching, and the catcher for the Giants got up, and who was in baseball chapel, and he started talking about what they were talking about. In baseball chapel, he said, hey, you know, the book of Ephesians, we were talking about this, what did you think of that? And he took a time, he said, hey, man, I can't talk to you about that right now. He said, I'm facing Clayton Kershaw. And he got back in the batter's box. He said, man, I just thought putting the full body of armor on, that was really interesting. And he was like, time out, you can't do this, man. I'm not talking to you about this. And I thought, that's the way Christians talk smack, you know, the catcher behind the dish. Hey, when you were in college, were there a lot of faith-believing guys, or was it kind of everybody on their own at that point in the four schools that you went to?
There was always, you know, the group of faith-believing guys. You know, I remember in Arizona, these Christian guys came up and, like, they would come up and talk to me, hey, do you think God wants you to play baseball? I was like, I don't know. And then they're like, what happens if he has something else for you? So I said, I don't know. And, you know, and you meet different people throughout, but I would say they're all kind of similar faith level as me at that time.
Yeah, it's interesting because college campus is the other one that I think guys talk about how difficult it is. Hey, before we get to a break, you talked about Jen as your girlfriend when this happened in May of 2017 when you got hit by that line drive. Where did you guys meet? And I can tell you that on this show, we tell guys a lot that they have outkicked their coverage a little bit. You know what, Daniel, you might join our club a little bit.
Well, I met Jen at Embry-Riddle. That was my fourth college, and that was Jen's third college. So we kind of were on the same journey there.
Well, I'll tell you what, you guys make an awfully good-looking couple. I have to tell you that. Is she she got a strong faith about her as well?
Thank you. And yes, you know, for the longest time, she would battle me like, you don't. I would tell you, you have to read the Bible, and then she was like, no, you don't have to read the Bible. You just have to pray. And I said, no, you have. Well, that's one thing, but you have to read. That's God's word. How would you know what He's saying? And finally, you know, baseball holds these things called PAO, Professional Athletes Outreach.
Yep.
And every offseason, you know, we meet. And thank God for that, really. You know, because we break off into boys and girls or men and women sections, and the women told her what she needed to do. And, you know, the next week after that, she's reading her Bible. You know, that changed their lives.
Man, that's awesome. I've heard a lot about POA. I have. It is a organization that you guys do some really good things, and there's professional athletes, and there's a lot of couple stuff, and man, that's good. And I'm glad that she is read that Bible. You know, it's funny because we've had on some guys, the worst thing they've ever done is steal a candy bar on this show. And then Pastor Daryl Strawberry and myself that did some things, you know, throughout their life that they're just really embarrassed by, Daniel. And if the Lord's willing to accept him and I, man, come on, I don't know what anybody's waiting for. I have to be honest with you. He is Daniel Ponce de Leon, pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals and author. One Line Drive. It's a life-threatening injury and a faith-filled comeback. Go to onelinedrive.com, or you can pick up the book wherever you buy your books. I would highly recommend this book, Amazon.com, Barnes & Noble. Shop the word, christianbook.com. We'll get to a break. Other side of the break, we'll continue with Daniel Ponce de Leon. Again, he is a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone, an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind. Here are your hosts, Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Kellner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm just a nobody. Trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight. Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. So lucky to have Daniel Ponce de Leon, again, pitcher of the St. Louis Cardinals. If you don't know his story, you're going to want to Google it. And if you can watch that day, if you can watch that pitch and that line shot that he took, I can't. May 17th, he was in AAA and one step away from the majors. And he got hit right in the head. He had major brain surgery. And, boy, he spent 3 weeks in the ICU. And thank God for his father, who he had talked about his father being his spiritual leader. And his father was at the hospital when he kind of came out of it. And he prayed over Daniel. And I thank God for Ramon that he did that. And everything is going pretty well for him now. Is there any lasting problems that you have with everything that happened, Daniel?
Surprisingly, no. No headaches. I never was a headache guy, still not. And the only really lasting thing is I got a dent on the side of my head, kind of. And you could feel the five little plates that are holding the skull piece back on.
Wow. Okay. No problem getting through airports or anything?
No. Get the metal's name, but it doesn't really beep when you walk through.
Man, thank goodness for that. Hey, when and I'm sure you've been asked this 100 times, but when you started feeling better, do you remember the first time you got back up on the mound and not just pitching, but against somebody in the batter's box?
Yeah, I remember. Mainly, I did this just so I can check a box for the Cardinals and any other team, because it was my Rule 5 year for anybody in baseball that understands that. But there was these in September, we had our guys heading out to Arizona for the Fall League.
Yep.
And I requested that I face these guys before they head out, you know, so they're going to be pretty good prospects that we have. And, you know, just to get ready, I threw a live BP against some of them. And I remember telling them, like, hey, can you guys, you know, swing, take this seriously? You know, this is for me, you know.
And no flashbacks, no issues with that at all?
Oh, no, not at all. I'm on the mound. I'm in attack mode. If you're not in attack mode, you're going to get another line drive right back up the middle.
No doubt. I agree with that. Good for you. Hey, the first time back, and I think that was the interview that, I had referenced earlier when Dan Plesac, you had pitched 7 no-hit innings. Was that the first game back?
No, that was my first start in the big leagues.
And that question that Plesac had for you was, ever a thought about this as a career ender after that line drive? And Daniel's answer, no, never, just brought me closer to God. And I just, when I just started clapping when I listened to that. Getting to the major leagues, can we talk a little bit about that? Because that was obviously been quite the journey. Who did you pitch 7 innings no hit ball against?
Cincinnati Reds.
Man, how good, that had to feel pretty good when they came to you and said, look, we got to pull you out. I think you were over 100 pitches at that point. No issues with coming out of a game, even though you're throwing a no-hitter?
I did want to stay in there, but I'm not going to argue with the head coach, especially on my first outing in the big leagues. So be it. His call, he saw something, and fair enough.
Hey, the other part of that interview that was asked was, hey, did you shake off your catcher at all that game? And I think you said twice. And look, you're throwing to one of the best of all time. I think that catcher in St. Louis is one of the best of all time. I believe that. And you said, yeah, I think I shook him off twice, but that was it. What is it like to be a younger guy in Major League Baseball with a catcher with the kind of reputation that Molina has?
I've shaken him off twice in my whole career.
In your whole career?
Yeah, the first game, I'm pretty sure I didn't shake him off at all. But, throwing to Yadier Molina, he's, I would call him a calming effect. He puts down the numbers, most likely 99% of the time, the right call. You know, I shook him off one time this spring, and I gave up a base hit, so that goes to tell you that.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I'd want to shake him off either, because he's been around. To be honest with you, Daniel, he seems about, he looks the same that he did 10 years ago. He hits the ball. He never was a big time runner. Catchers normally aren't, but boy, he can still throw.
Yeah. And he looks better than he has the last couple years this year. He's got a little extra something in him this year. I'm impressed.
You know, Brewer fans, we don't want to hear that. We do not want to hear that he's going to be better than he was a year ago, because, man, I'll tell you what, he has been a Brewer killer for a long time. We were talking, he is a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals, Daniel Ponce de Leon. Hey, is there a book that is your favorite in the Bible? Is there a go-to for you?
Man, that's a really good question. During my dark time, not dark time, during any time I'm low, I resort to the Psalms. I don't know why. I'm a musical kind of guy, and I love songs. And so, like, I'll find Psalms, read them, and then I'll find a song that is kind of written off of it. And I love that. It's a calming effect for me. Genesis is never a bad read either. It's got great stories in there if you just want to read a good story, you know?
Yeah. I've talked about the book of Ephesians. For me, that's the one try to put on the full body of armor every day. There's times that I fail before I get out of bed, Daniel. And, you know, that for me is trying to be a better father and a better husband, a better friend, a better employee, and trying to put on that full body of armor. That's kind of my go-to one. But, boy, I like them all. I think we're starting Romans now, and we've gone through a lot here at Brookside Baptist Church, and it's interesting because we've been open now for a while, and we're starting to get a lot of people back to our church, and people that, you know, we're going to stay home for a while, but they've come back, and it's good to be around people, you know, that have similar beliefs that you have, and to be able to fellowship with them, I think is phenomenal. We got done through the book of Revelation a couple weeks ago, and there's a lot in that book that I'm not sure it's too far off. I got to be honest with you that he's coming back.
I can't agree anymore, and I've been kind of doing a little bit of end time study here and there myself, but I'm also on my own, not my own, Don Christensen. He goes to the PAO every year, and he's also Adam Wainwright something. He designed this read through a Bible in 1 year thing. So you read one New Testament, one Old Testament, and one Psalm or Proverb every day. And I think that's very helpful. So I finished the Bible last year, and now we're on our second read-through this year.
Man, good for you. Hey, and I don't need to have names, but a lot of believers in the locker room with the Cardinals?
Yeah. We had a pretty big handful of guys. I would say we're one of the higher represented teams of Christian faith.
Well, I'd love to hear that. How am I going to dislike you guys now? You know, that's going to be hard for me. I've never been, you know, again, with the Brewers and the Cardinals, I always seem to go at it, that's for sure. Hey, last question before we get to a break. We had talked off the air that starting baseman for the Milwaukee Brewers coming up here with opening day this week is a former St. Louis Cardinal, and we talked to him, and he said, man, Colton Wong, he's a buddy of mine. He's a good guy.
Yeah, Colton Wong and I, we came actually real close last year. Good person all around. I've always been friends with him, but last year we came a little closer, me, him, and Dakota Hudson. We kind of had our little triangle friendship there.
I think the Milwaukee Brewer fans are going to really like him because he's, at least from watching him from afar, he's the kind of guy that Milwaukee loves because he's going to play hard all the time.
100%.
Yeah, he gets after it. Boy, defensively, that kid is unbelievable.
Yeah, you definitely want him on your team. You know, he goes after every ball with like it's the last ball you'll ever go after, you know.
Hey, you know what? I lied. Last question before we get to a break. When you get in the batter's box, did you hit a lot when you were in college, obviously? You guys don't get a chance to take much batting practice, and are you comfortable when you get in the batter's box?
In college, never hit because they had DHs. And last real season I had a hitting was my junior year, halfway through my senior year in high school.
Oh,
they canceled it. So previous to this year, getting in the batter's box was like, oh, I pray for a hit. I mean, I got one major league hit, you know. But this year, for some reason, it's kind of clicking for me. I'm starting to feel a little bit more comfortable in the box, recognizing pitches, and getting the barrel to the ball seemed a bit easier now. So I'm excited this year for it.
Man, good for you. He is Daniel Ponce de Leon. We're going to get to a break. Got a short segment on the other side. I'm going to ask him two questions. I'm going to ask him about in his earlier days in minor league baseball, easier to walk worthy in the locker room or outside the locker room. And even in today's day, you know, with the St. Louis Cardinals, sometimes it's difficult. And I'll ask him that. And then I'm going to ask him if he could put all the uniforms he's ever worn, you know, which one would he put on and who would he play for one more time? He is a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. He's an author, One Line Drive. And again, if you don't know Daniel Ponce de Leon's story, I want you to look it up. May of 2017, he got hit by a line shot. The name of the book, again, One Line Drive, A Life-Threatening Injury and a Faith-Filled Comeback. And I love that part of it, that last part, the faith-filled comeback. And it's a wonderful book. And again, I want to thank his father because when he prayed over him, I think that was a big calming effect on Daniel. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
Back to Faith in the Zone, a journey on how people in sports walk in faith. Faith in the Zone is brought to you by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. Here are hosts Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner, only on 1250 AM, The Fan. Because I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight.
Welcome back to Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan. I'm Mike McGivern, again flying solo this week. Pastor Ken Keltner from Brookside Baptist Church. Be able to get back in studio when we're able to open it up to non-employees, and I'm hoping that is soon. Our special guest, he is a pitcher with the St. Louis Cardinals. He is Daniel Ponce de Leon, and he is an author. One Line Drive is the name of the book. You can go to onelinedrive.com or go wherever you purchase your books, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, shoptheword.com, christianbook.com. It is available, and I would highly recommend you pick up this book. Daniel, we got a short amount of time here, our last segment. And one question I like to ask professional athletes, is it easier for you to walk worthy inside the locker room or outside the locker room? And where that question came from, Don Beebe used to play for the Green Bay Packers. And I asked that question. He said, for me personally, it was inside the locker room because I had Reggie White on one side of me and I had a number of other Christian brothers on the other side. But now the season's over and I'm outside the locker room and it was a little bit more difficult there because I didn't have people that were holding me accountable. And then there are other guys that say, no, it's, you know, for me, it's outside the locker room. And I'm wondering for you in your journey here, maybe the last couple of years, easier to walk worthy inside or outside?
For me, there's really no difference since, you know, I got this reading plan and I'm always accountable. I have a small group that we all share this reading plan right now. It's me, my wife, one of my sisters from home, and my dad and his sister. So we got a nice little group of people that we're all reading together. So it doesn't matter if I'm inside or outside, I'm always in the Word.
Man, that's a great answer. Thank you for that. Hey, do you have three children?
Yes, I do.
Hey, how hard is it, boys, girls, if I can ask?
I have one boy and two girls.
Man, hard for them. Do they understand that their dad, though he's gone, he's working, and they certainly know, you know, that I don't know how old they are, but they know what you do for a living, I would think.
Yeah, I think my son kind of grasped, you know, before COVID hit, he was able to run down the locker room, hang out with us, and stuff, but right now all they know is that dad is at baseball. And anytime I FaceTime my 2-year-old daughter, she comes and goes, "Dada, come home."
Oh boy,
I can't. She goes, "Dada, baseball?" And I say, "Yeah."
Well, they get to hopefully watch you every once in a while. You know, every fourth start or fifth start, where you get to get up on the mound. Hey, do you have any things that you do the day that you start that you don't do except for that day?
No
special music, anything like that?
Well, yeah. Well, it kind of depends, you know. Like, I do have like this playlist of Christian songs that I listen to, but sometimes, like in the middle of the week, bump to them low, then I'll put those on, you know, in the middle of the week as well.
Yeah,
in the middle of the rotation, whatever. You know, I'm not really a superstitious guy. I don't have to hit different things at different times, but you know, it's just kind of how I feel that day, I guess.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We, my wife's favorite band is the Casting Crowns, and for Christmas we're going to go to Fort Myers and listen to and catch them in concert, and then drive a little bit further. I have one brother in Sarasota, and one in Tarpon Springs, and they changed the concert to October. So we're still going to go down there. And my brother Tim, that lives in Tarpon Springs, Daniel, he is 68 years old. Still catching, I don't know, 2-3 games a week. He's in a 35 and over, 45 and over, 55 and over. And those guys,
wow,
you know, they get up in the age, they can't find guys that can catch. He's catching 7, 8, 9 inning games. I said, "Man, can you still throw guys out?" He goes, "Yeah, I can throw these guys out. Like, a guy over there is like 65. I can one hop it and get those guys." So he is a big, my brother Tim, big baseball, big Rays and Brewers fan. Hey, in the last couple of minutes, I like asking this question. Every team you ever played on, from Little League, you know, to when you were 6, 7 years old, all the way to where you're at right now, if I took every uniform you've ever put on, put it in the closet, and said you can pick one out, put it back on and play one more game for that team, that school, whatever, what uniform would you put on?
That's a really hard question because I played for so many different teams. But I think the uniform I would put on is my senior year in high school football team uniform.
Awesome.
Those brothers will always be in my heart. I mean, I could go home right now. I haven't seen them in years. And I'd give them hugs and it'd be like we'd never missed a day, you know. But yeah.
Was that the year you won state, Daniel?
Yeah, we won CIF that year. That was the 1 year. We were all brothers, man, and miss those guys.
Man, there's something about football that, you know, you go to war with these guys, and
yeah,
they understand it.
Mm-hmm. Exactly that. You know, it is war, pretty much. You know, you go out there, and that was when, you know, you get the butterflies in your stomach before you get out there because of the uncertainty. But, we were very well coached, and we moved as one unit. We were not the most athletic, but we were definitely the smartest team out there. And we showed it that year.
Did you? Were you guys a team that threw the ball a lot?
We were West Coast style, so it was probably split 50-50 pretty evenly. You know, run a lot of passes off play action, or you know, everything was mainly under center. And we're just out-schemed the team.
Last question: how many of those receivers on the high school team would get in the huddle and say, "Man, I'm wide open. You got to start looking for me."
None. I always hit the wide open guy.
Man, he is Daniel Ponce de Leon. That's a great. He's given us some really good answers here today, guys. I got to tell you, One Line Drive, and if you go to onelinedrive.com, you get to read the first two paragraphs of this book. If you read those first two and you don't go ahead and go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble and shop the word and buy the book, I'd be really surprised, because it's a life-threatening injury and a faith-filled comeback. And this young man, I'm going to be rooting for him every time he's on the mound, except when he's playing the Brewers. I'm going to root for him, and I'm going to watch him. And if there's anything that he ever needs when he's here in Milwaukee, he could certainly give me a call, and I would run it over to him. I'm a huge fan. Daniel, thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, thank you. Appreciate you having me on here. It was a good time.
Yeah, thank you very much. Good luck this season, and looking forward to having you come to Milwaukee. This is Faith in the Zone on 1250 AM, The Fan.
You've been listening to Faith in the Zone with host Mike McGivern and Pastor Ken Keltner. You can hear Faith in the Zone every Sunday at 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. To find past shows, exclusive podcasts, or to contribute with an inside tip on a guest, simply go to faithinthezone.com. Faith in the Zone is an inside look at people in sports and their walk in faith. Join us again next Sunday for Faith in the Zone, right here on 1250 AM, The Fan. 'Cause I'm just a nobody, trying to tell everybody all about somebody who saved my soul. Ever since you rescued me, you gave my heart a song to sing. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. I'm living for the world to see, nobody but Jesus. When Moses had stage fright, and David brought a rock to a sword fight, you picked 12 outsiders nobody would have chosen, and you changed the world. Well, the moral of the story is, everybody's got a purpose.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.